God of light, we ask that you will shed light on the word that we have prepared to explore today. We give you thanks for the word that you have given to us, and that we ask and that you will prepare our minds for that. Be with us now as we open your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Our gospel today is from the lectionary. It's from the Gospel of John. I'm looking at the chapter 10, starting at the 22nd verse. I'm actually going to go on a few more verses after that because I will reference them a bit later. So from the Gospel of John, hear the word of God. At that time, the festival of the dedication, which is actually Hanukkah, it took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" And the Jews answered, "It is not good. It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God." Jesus answered, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If those to whom the word of God came were called gods, and the scripture cannot be annulled, can you say that the one whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world is blaspheming because I said, 'I am God's son'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe in me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." They tried to arrest him again, but he escaped from their hands. This is the word of the Lord. I just don't get it. There's not one of us here who hasn't encountered things that don't make sense. It could be a joke where the punchline has evaded our understanding, or a brain teaser question that becomes unsolvable, another person's motivation to pursue a plan that you think is unwise. I just don't. Or it could be a hard chapter in a class that you were trying to pass in high school or college or for professional development at work. I just don't get it. There is stuff that we encounter all the time that we do not understand. And when we do encounter those things, we have some choices to make. We either dig into the subject matter, phone a friend to help, or just accept what you do not know and do not care to know and move on with the rest of your life that you can make sense of. You either accept your lack of knowledge, or perhaps you're compelled to look for answers and gain understanding. Either way, you do settle it in your head. It appears from our text today that the Jews were telling Jesus, "I just don't get it," but with a very different motivation. "Really, Jesus? Just tell us. We don't get it yet. You haven't told us in any definitive terms who you say you are. Name yourself, Jesus. Name yourself." Most scholars of this passage make the questioners out to be the prosecutors bent on interrogating Jesus so that he can give them the goods on just who he thinks he is and who he is claiming to be, and perhaps ultimately to trap him into a statement that they could later use in prosecuting him for heresy. What if they were legitimately looking for answers, or some of them were? Apparently there is an argument from the reading in the Greek in that context that they were just out of curiosity. But so perhaps it was a bit of both curiosity and adversarial interrogation. I find the curiosity description particularly hard to justify in that the verses following our passage, which I did continue to read, the Jews are reported to be picking up stones, but the fact remains that up to this point in John's gospel, Jesus had not yet been asked about his self-identity and had only revealed himself in that way to the Samaritan woman at the well. In the fourth chapter of John, when she says to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus answered to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." But whatever the motivation was with that question, "Who are you really, Jesus?" the fact that it was even asked is what becomes the issue. The fact that it was even asked. Jesus does not even dignify the question with an answer, and instead of respond, he responded with a rebuking tone. If you have to ask, you haven't been listening. "I have told you, and you do not believe. I have shown you, and you have not seen who I am." Wow. Jesus does not stop with that rebuke. He continues now with the analogy of the Good Shepherd, one of which the Jewish tradition is very, very familiar because of the beautiful Psalm 23, which you heard sung in a different context by the choir. He is taking the Jewish questioners back to the Old Testament scriptures to link them into Jesus' own current ministry of shepherding. The Jews that are questioning Jesus' identity are being gathered into the discussion as to who Jesus is by Jesus himself bridging the imagery of the Old Testament God shepherd to the New Testament Jesus shepherd. Jesus has already spent the first half of this 10th chapter of John describing himself as the Good Shepherd, but the inquisitors are still bothered by the fact that he is likening himself to Yahweh, the Old Testament God that they know. In our scripture passage for today, Jesus is now revealing that he, too, is one of the Father God, Yahweh, in a very profound way that the followers of Jesus are only beginning now to understand. He continues to talk in terms of a shepherd with a flock, but the flock is definitely that of the one who belongs to both the Father and the Son of God. This was the connection that was the speed bump for the Jews. God and the Son. It was a speed bump for them. And the connection was enough for them to start picking up stones. But let's back up just a bit. The people who were questioning were missing something in their hearing of the words of Jesus. He told them, "I testify who I am by what I do. I tend my flock of sheep. You do not believe because you do not belong." They reacted with closed minds there, with an agenda of their own, specifically accusing him of pretending to be God. And if I were them, I hope I would be thinking, what do those sheep know that I don't know? What is it about the folks who are hearing and following that I am missing? It is here that if we are listening, we need to begin to hear with the ears of the ones who are seeking out of curiosity. We need to listen with the ears of openness and inquiry for the voice of the shepherd. It is with that sense of promise and possibility that we can, in fact, begin to hear and to understand and to believe. The voice is always there. It always has been. In the words of Thomas Troger, he says, "God seeks us long before we seek God. Christ makes us his sheep. We do not make him our shepherd." What do the sheep know? Well, when they discover the shepherd who has always been there and placed by God, they know care, gentleness, and comfort. They know safety within the gates of the promise of eternal life. They know and see the ways of the Heavenly Father, because the shepherd is one with the Father in spirit, in word, and in deed. They know belonging around a large table together. They know protection through dark valleys. They know that the voice of the shepherd is one that can be trusted to lead them into the right paths. They know that they will never have to face adversity alone, ever, throughout their lifetime. They know that if they get lost, they will be found and restored in body and soul, and surrounded by goodness and mercy. That is what the sheep know by the words and the deeds and the spirit of Jesus, the Son of God. On this day that honors the mothers and the mother figures in our lives, we look to the attributes of the Good Shepherd in those women, and we celebrate them. Our mothers sought us long before we recognized and sought them, and we have become a part of their flock. Although these women in our lives carry out their shepherding in many different ways, with varying degrees of success, as is the human way, we honor them for their striving to be that shepherdess for all the lambs in their charge. They are listening with ears to hear, as Christ has pointed up in his account in this, the Gospel of John. God bless the mothers. God bless the shepherdesses. So if we, as followers of Christ, have to ask of him, "I just don't get it, Jesus. Who do you say that you are?" we must do it with a sense of curiosity to learn how to be authentic in our search for the way and the truth and the life. God has chosen all of us to be his disciples, and there is no harm in asking the questions. We do ask the questions, but hopefully in tune with the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we continue to learn more, we can know Jesus more personally. We can walk with him as authentic disciples, and in turn, we will be shepherded through our lives with the love and the care of the good and the great shepherd. Amen. Let us pray. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, you are our shepherd. You are our guide and our protection and our light. Help us to see and hear all of who you are in conjunction with the Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.